Many will celebrate Mexican Independence Day. On this day, September 16, 1810, a priest, Father Miguel Hidalgo y Costilla, declared in the town of Dolores in the state of Guanajuato that it was time for Spain's rule for Mexico to end. And this occasion of Grito de Dolores is celebrated as the declaration of the country's independence. But this declaration was not the accomplishment of independence. It took several years for the people of Mexico to achieve independence from Spain. The declaration, called the Cry of Dolores, did not accomplish independence for the people. It did not achieve their freedom. And Father Hidalgo knew that his cry for freedom was not the accomplishment of independence, but the beginning of the struggle for independence. The accomplishment of Mexico's independence from Spain was achieved in 1822. Father Hidalgo's declaration was the expression of his and his people's wish, their desire, the dream, which took 11 more years to carry out. This wasn't the first time that a people declared its independence as an intention, a hope, a desire, a yearning. In this country, we celebrate our Independence Day on the 4th of July because on this day, the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a declaration of our independence from the authority of Great Britain. But although it was a formal document written by elected representatives and adopted by an official group, it did not accomplish independence in 1776. It did not achieve freedom. And the ratifiers of the declaration knew that the Declaration of Freedom in 1776 was not the accomplishment of independence. The accomplishment of the independence of the United States from Great Britain wasn't actually achieved until 1783. The statement of the representatives in Philadelphia was the expression of their desire, their longing, which took 7 years to carry out. In fact, in the relations of nations with each other, we have seen the same thing happen on numerous occasions. Ireland, for example, declared independence from Great Britain in 1919, but it wasn't until 2 years later that their independence actually was accomplished. It took 2 years for Argentina as well. Argentina declared independence from Spain in 1816, but did not gain independence until 1818. And the list goes on. Uruguay did not accomplish independence from Brazil until 3 years after its declaration. It was 10 years after its declaration that Greece gained its independence from the Ottoman Empire. El Salvador and other Central American countries declared their independence from Spain on September 15, 1821. But El Salvador did not become an independent nation until 20 years later in 1841. The accomplishment of Korea's independence from Japan wasn't achieved until 26 years after its declaration. And Chile? Chile declared its independence from Spain in 1810, but its declared desire for independence was not accomplished until 1844, 34 years later. But probably the longest delay between declaration and accomplishment of independence for any nation was the Philippines. The Philippines declared independence from Spain in the year 1898 after 377 years of rule, but Spain did not recognize the declaration. And later that same year, Spain ceded the Philippines to the United States, which also did not recognize their declaration of independence. It wasn't until 1946, 48 years after its declaration, that the Philippines actually achieved independence. Now, you may be thinking you've woken up from a nap and found yourself in history class. Well, let me reassure you, this is not history class, and there is no test coming, at least not from me. We're not here to listen to me go on and on about historical events or to try and convince you of my personal perspective about life in general or your life in particular. I don't really think any so-called personal wisdom I could share is worth your time anyway. I mean, you got up on a Sunday morning, put on something nice, at least some of you, and you got yourself here. And I respect your time, and I don't want to waste it. And that's not what this part of the service is all about anyway. This part of the service is designed to explore truth, universal principles, what's true everywhere, for everybody, all the time, and the relevance and implication of truth for our lives. Now, I realize some of you are trying to figure out right now how to make a quiet exit. You don't buy the idea that anything is true everywhere for everybody all the time. You don't accept the validity of universal principles of truth. If that's where you are right now, I encourage you to reconsider. You've gone to the trouble of coming, so at least give it a shot since you're here. And you can relax if you're afraid I'm some guy who believes he knows what's best for you and can tell you what you should do. That's not me. I don't believe any one of us has the capacity to figure out on our own what the universal principles are. We're too messed up, flawed, biased, focused on our own selfish interest to clearly grasp on our own what really is the truth. No, the only way we can know for sure what's true is if it's revealed to us. And the good news is that the one who is truth does reveal it to us. And his primary instrument of revelation is Scripture, the Bible. Now again, some of you may be looking for the exits. You don't accept the Bible as a reliable source of truth. And again, if that's where you are, I encourage you just to hear me out, at least today. If you decide it's a waste of time, then you probably have lots of other ideas about what you can do with your Sunday mornings. But if you stick with me a bit, you might be surprised. I'll tell you what I mean in a moment, but first, I want to lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, eternal God of truth, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds as you lead us in truth, with truth, to truth, that we may honor you in spirit and truth in both word and deed. For it is our earnest and humble desire to be the illuminators and instruments of truth that you call and empower us to be as individuals and as a church. Amen. So I said what I said about the historical record of independence of peoples and nations because it reveals an established and persistent pattern of grand declarations that don't describe something that has been achieved, and certainly do not accomplish what is declared by the act of declaring. And I'm not complaining. In fact, I think it's a good thing if our history makes us at least a little skeptical of the grand statements that we make to each other. There is a problem, however, a serious problem, when we project our limitations onto God and see his declarations as ineffective as ours. For you see, the declarations of God are acts of power. God's declarations are his instruments of power that create and change. When God says, "Let it be so," it is so. He accomplishes what he is declaring in the act of declaring it. The Most High God, the creator and master of the universe, our Heavenly Father, has clearly spoken to declare what is true. facts about past events, realities of our experiences now, and details of what's going to occur in the future. But most of the people you will encounter tomorrow, and perhaps some of those gathered here today, hear God's declarations as possibilities or cultural narratives rather than conclusive, incontrovertible, rock-solid, certain truth. The truth is, however, that what God declares is not only reliably accurate, the declarations of the Creator and Lord of the universe are, in reality, the executions of His power. Do you not know? Have you not heard? God said, "Light be," and light was. God said, "Expanse be in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters," and it was so. God said, "Waters below the heavens gather into one place, and dry land appear," and it was so. God said, "Earth sprout grass, herbs yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit according to their kind with seed in them," and it was so. God said, "Lights be in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and they will be as lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth," and it was so. God said, "Earth, bring forth living creatures according to their kind, livestock and crawling things and animals of the earth according to their kind," and it was so. When God speaks, it's not like when you and I speak. What God says is not merely an expression of His hopes, His wishes, His dreams. Our declarations may be sometimes reliably accurate statements of truth, but God's word is living and active. His declarations are actually the means by which He does what He says. God's declarations are acts of power by which He accomplishes what He declares. And Scripture is clear. Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is God incarnate, as it's revealed in Isaiah 9:6. And there are many evidences of this truth in Scripture. And one of them is that the declarations of Lord Jesus manifest power in the same way the declarations of God manifest power. Because the declarations of Lord Jesus are, in fact, the declarations of God Himself. For example, on one occasion recorded in John 4, when Lord Jesus was in Cana, He said to a royal official from Capernaum, 20 miles away, who asked for help with his dying son, "Go your way, your son lives." And on the way back, the official's servants met him and gave him the good news that his son had recovered. And Scripture says that the official asked the servants when the fever left his son. They told him it had happened at 1 p.m. And Scripture says the official knew that his son was healed at the very time Lord Jesus said, "Your son lives." On another occasion, recorded in Mark 1 and Luke 4, Lord Jesus was in a synagogue in Capernaum when He encountered a man possessed by a demon who shouted at Him. And Lord Jesus said, "Silence! Leave him!" And Scripture records that the demon shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. On another occasion, recorded in Luke 5, Matthew 9, and Mark 2, Lord Jesus was teaching, and there were scribes and Pharisees in the crowd who did not believe His authority when He forgave the sins of a man who was paralyzed. And Lord Jesus said to them, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then he turned to the paralyzed man. He said, to you I say, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And scripture records that immediately the man got up, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. On another occasion, recorded in Matthew 8, the Spirit reveals that Lord Jesus told a centurion who had interceded on behalf of his sick servant, go, just as you believe, it is done to you. Scripture records that, quote, the servant was healed in that very hour. On another occasion, recorded in Matthew 8, Mark 4, and Luke 8, Lord Jesus and his closest followers were crossing the Sea of Galilee when a sudden fierce storm descended on them and flooded the boat. Lord Jesus was sleeping, and his followers woke him up, crying out in fear. He stood, spoke to the winds and waves, and scripture records that in that instant, it was calm. On another occasion, recorded in Matthew 15, a woman came to Lord Jesus begging him to heal her daughter and said, your request is granted. Scripture records the daughter was healed at that moment. On another occasion, recorded in Mark 10, Matthew 20, Luke 18, Lord Jesus encountered a blind man who called out to him for help. And he said to the blind man, go, your faith has healed you. And scripture records that immediately the man regained his sight and began following Lord Jesus. So you're beginning to see a pattern here. The Spirit reveals in John 11 that Lord Jesus stood outside the tomb in which his friend Lazarus had been placed 4 days before and called out, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. So then, knowing that his declarations are acts of power, by which he accomplishes what he declares, believe that Lord Jesus says what he means. He wasn't confused. He wasn't deluded. He was consciously deliberate in what he said and how he said it. Lord Jesus says what he means. Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And I and the Father are one. Believe it. He says what he means. Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Believe it. He says what he means. Lord Jesus said, you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. Believe it. He says what he means. Knowing that his declarations are acts of power by which he accomplishes what he declares, know that Lord Jesus means what he says. He wasn't exaggerating. He wasn't just making things up so people would do what he wanted them to. He was intentional in declaring truth we need to know. Know that when Lord Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, he means what he says. Know that when Lord Jesus says true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, he means what he says. Know that when Lord Jesus says whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me, he means what he says. Know that when Lord Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my teaching, he means what he says. Knowing that his declarations are acts of power by which he accomplishes what he declares, trust that you can take Lord Jesus at his word. He announced to Pilate that he came into the world to testify to the truth. Trust Lord Jesus when he says, come to me all who are weary and weighed down, and I will give you rest. You can take him at his word. Trust Lord Jesus when he says, let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink, for whoever is trusting in me from deep within them will flow rivers of living water. You can take him at his word. Trust Lord Jesus when he says, I came that you can have life to the fullest. You can take him at his word. Trust Lord Jesus when he says, the one who hears my word and trusts in him who sent me has eternal life and comes not into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. You can take him at his word. Trust Lord Jesus when he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You can take him at his word. Trust Lord Jesus when he says, in the world you have troubles, but take courage. I have overcome the world. You can take him at his word. Trust Lord Jesus when he says, I'm coming back to get you. And where I am, there you will be also. You can take him at his word. On your notes sheet, there's a space for you to record your next step. I don't know what your next step is in applying in your life these truths that I've shared with you. I'm going to offer you some suggestions, but you need to pray now to ask the Spirit of God to give you a sense of what you need to do next. And when you have a thought in response to that prayer, an impression, an idea of what you need to do that you believe is from the Lord, immediately commit to him that you will do it and decide what you will do first and when. Perhaps even put it on your calendar. First suggestion. If you believe Lord Jesus says what he means, knows that he means what he says, and trusts that you can take him at his word, have you? Lord Jesus said, as it's recorded in John 6:40, this is the will of my Father who sent me, that all who see the Son and trust in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise them up on the last day. Do you believe that he said what he meant to say? Do you believe he meant what he said? Do you trust in him to take him at his word? Are you trusting in him? Trusting in Lord Jesus means that you trust him for forgiveness of your moral debt. All of us fail to meet the moral standards of Holy God. We don't even meet our own standards for right and wrong. And the penalty of our moral failures is separation from the presence and favor of God. But on the cross, Lord Jesus paid that penalty as our substitute so you and I wouldn't have to. But he does not coerce us to accept him as our substitute. He gives us freedom to choose to trust in him. Trusting in Lord Jesus means trusting him for forgiveness by accepting his payment of the penalty for our sin. And trusting in Lord Jesus means trusting him for the power to overcome challenges and live to the fullest as you were created to. And trusting in Lord Jesus means trusting him for direction for your future and the promise of eternity with him. So if you are not trusting in Lord Jesus, then your next step is to right now take him at his word. Claim for yourself what is declared in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. You are born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. I want to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes right now to avoid any distractions. Lord Jesus said, unless someone is born from above, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Take him at his word. Lord Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Take him at his word. You can trust him. Take him at his word. If you are ready now to take Lord Jesus at his word, if you are ready to trust in him for forgiveness, power in your life, and the promise of eternity, then I invite you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I want to take you at your word. I trust you now for forgiveness. I trust you now for power in my life. I trust you now for the promise of the blessing of eternity with you. I take you at your word. Amen. If you have trusted in Lord Jesus today for the first time, before you leave this morning, please tell me or another leader of our congregation. We want to pray with you and invite you to join with us in learning more about living by faith in Lord Jesus. Now, perhaps you've already at some time in the past taken the step of faith to trust Lord Jesus for forgiveness, for power, and for eternity. If that's true for you, then your next step may be to become more consistent in the time and attention you're giving to his words. You can't trust what he says and take him at his word in how you live your life if you don't know what he declares, if you don't know what he says. Lord Jesus said, as it's recorded in Matthew 7, 24 and 25, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Do you believe that he said what he meant to say? Do you know that he meant what he said? Do you trust in him to take him at his word? Then are you building your life on the solid foundation of his words? If you are, then you're hearing and applying his words every day. You're spending time every day reading his words. Remember, we have suggestions for you in reading his words on the bookmarks on the back table. If you are trusting in him, taking him at his word, then you're not just reading what he has to say when you have a few extra minutes. If you're taking him at his word, then you're setting aside specific time every day to read his word and reflect on specific ways you will, not can, will apply them in your life. If you're taking him at his word, you're studying to understand what he says. If you're taking him at his word, you're meditating on his words and what you're doing so that you, what he says is evident in what you do. If you're taking him at his word, you're memorizing his words so that his spirit can bring them to mind as you go through the day. If you're taking him at his word, you're spending time in prayerful reflection every day to review how you've applied what he says and what needs to change as you grow in faithfulness to his words. Where in your life do you need to take Lord Jesus at his word? Perhaps your next step as you hear his words is to do them, to apply them to some specific situation or challenge that you face. Are you frustrated or afraid because of unrelenting pain or illness? Or because a loved one just isn't getting any better? You need to take him at his word. Are you struggling with a large and growing financial challenge? You need to take him at his word. Are you trying to save a troubled relationship? You need to take Lord Jesus at his word. Is there something that for so long you've been asking our Lord to do and it's not happening? You need to take Lord Jesus at his word. Is there something in your life that you know doesn't honor our Lord, but you just don't want to give it up? You need to take him at his word. Is there something you know our Lord wants you to do, but for whatever reason you haven't done it or you're not doing it? You need to take him at his word. Again, I don't know what you need to do, but our Lord will reveal that to you as you trust in him. Knowing that his declarations are acts of power by which he accomplishes what he declares. Believe he says what he means. Know that he means what he says. And trust in him to take him at his words. When you hear his words and do them, you are building your life on the solid rock that supports you in good times and sustains you when the storms blow. May it be so. Let's pray. We are grateful, Lord, that you have made possible for us to know what is true, not only about the world around us, but about ourselves. We are grateful, Lord, that you have revealed to us those truths that we need to apply in our own lives and that need to be evident in the ways that we interact with each other and with you. We confess, Lord, that far too often we have taken your words lightly, just trusting that somebody else is going to tell us about what we need to know and do. Trusting that we only need to come by and maybe visit your words every so often. But Lord, we ask that you would call us to build our lives daily on the solid rock of your words. You know better than we do, Lord, the storms that will come. You know better than we do our desperate need to build our lives on the solid foundation that can sustain us in those storms. So I'm asking for myself, Lord, I'm asking for my friends who are here, that you would not allow us to be comfortable without giving the time and attention we desperately need to give to your words. We trust you for that. Amen.